Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. It is the 8th of April, 2021, and welcome to today's edition of Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is part of ace-ed.org, our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. The brand-new issue of our online journal, which is excellent, okay, is up there right now. Just click through to ace-ed.org, click on the magazine icon, and enjoy a terrific issue of the journal. Equity and Access is what it's called, Equity and Access Pre-K-12, and that's exactly what it focuses on, and we're the only ones who do that. Okay, and these are top-of-mind concerns within pre-K-12 education, so please go over and enjoy our magazine. Everything we do is free. Okay, all our podcasts are over there. We archive this one and every other one. Over there, you'll see an icon for podcasts plus a ton of other information. Again, ace-ed.org. You're cordially invited to go over there. We've got a interesting show this morning. My good friend Ross Romano introduced me to a gentleman in a company. Okay, Phil DeTore is his name. He is the director of education at Financial Life Cycle Education, which is FICycle, like bicycle, but with an F-I, FICycle.org. And my first question, okay, as we talk about where this fits into education and all that, and my first question to Phil, good morning, Phil. It's Larry here. What, that sounds like bicycle. How come there's not a bicycle logo somewhere?
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Phil.
The cycle comes from the financial life cycle. The idea that over the course of our lives, there's various periods in our lives where we have different needs and that we need to be able to manage the different stages of our lives in order to meet those financial needs. But I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves. There actually is a bicycle in our logo. if you check it out on the webpage.
If there is? Wait a minute. I was over there this morning. I didn't see it. Now, hold on. Now I'm going back.
It's more of a coincidence, though. The financial FICycle stands for Financial Life Cycle.
Okay. But it did strike me as bicycle, and I could see like a dollar bill, okay, on a bicycle having a good time as your logo. That's what I could see.
We're going to have to get you involved. We're going to have to get you involved in our branding process. We're going to bring you in on that conversation.
I loved it. I was over there this morning on the website. Again, everybody, FICYCLE, FICycle.org. Okay, and once you learn this, you hold on to it forever. It's good stuff. Phil, you're director of education over there. Where are you located right now? Where are you?
We are located in New York City. Right now I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
Good enough. All right. How's life in Brooklyn these days?
It's great. Things are getting better. Weather's getting nicer. It's a sunny day this morning, so I'm always happy for that.
Yeah, and there's going to be some good outdoor dining setting up pretty darn soon, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, we've had outdoor dining, and we just moved to have a little bit indoor dining, too, so that's a big change for us. People are pretty happy.
Yes, same thing up here in Maine. We're a little bit behind you weather-wise, of course, but a little chillier up here, but not that much. And I'm looking forward to a good spring this year, as everyone else is. You guys combine math. This is a wonderful program, okay? You combine math with personal finance. Okay, and tell us how this whole thing started. How did you guys get involved in schools? Why did you get involved in schools? Where's FICycle come from?
Well, that's a good question. So our founder, Andrew Davidson, has a company, very successful company, Andrew Davidson & Co. It's a leading provider of analysis of mortgages and mortgage-backed securities to financial institutions and their regulators. And he's
cool.
very passionate about education, and he really wanted, math has been a great help in his life, and he really wanted to give back to the community. And looking at our country and the state of mathematics education and the state of financial knowledge, he was on kind of a mission to equip students with the mathematical and financial skills necessary to navigate their financial life cycle that I talked about a little bit earlier. So, you know, he looked at the state of educational landscape in our country, what was out there already, and he determined that he thought the most effective way to do that and to carry out his mission and reach sort of the broadest range of students would be to incorporate these important financial concepts into a relevant and practical mathematics curriculum. So, you know, FICycle was born and designed to really solve two problems. One is to help students see the connection between the math they're learning and the life they're living.
I love that.
To put math back into a real context, right? To put an end to that question, when am I going to use this in life?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the second is to provide the necessary mathematical rigor to solve problems in finance, and having that mathematical understanding, not just the vocabulary of finance, which is sometimes what we can see in financial education.
And you just said Larry's magic word, which is rigor. Okay.
Yes.
And in fact, as I was describing this on the description, as people are listening, they'll see I use the word rigor. Okay, because that is a key word, and I'll just say this at the beginning, and I try to say this: so the more rigorous a curriculum we give to our students, the more they will stand up and accept it and do better. I'm a great believer in quality, rigorous curriculum. I think that's a great word to use. Which brings me to let's ask a thing: this is available? Is this available for no charge, or is there a charge for it?
So that's a good question. So we do a lot of different things. So currently, it's free to implement your first year, and after that, we offer it at a sliding scale. It's really important to us that this work reaches all students, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just students who are at a high socioeconomic status school or a low socioeconomic status school. This isn't a course just for students who are on the honors track, nor is it a course just for students who maybe can't take AP calculus.
Nice.
Right, so, it's really,
so there's a sliding
really
scale according to the needs of the school as you go into the second year. Is that correct?
Yeah. In fact, many of our schools are qualified as Title I schools. But yeah, so there's a schools sort of choose where they fall on that sliding scale, and certainly schools that qualify as high need schools make use of that. But again, it's free in the first year, so there's very little risk. And you mentioned the webpage. As I talk today, I haven't really described it, but if those who are already interested, you can always go check out the webpage. We offer free lessons for download for people who are just curious. I mentioned implementing the course is free the first year. So for schools that are curious and really want to jump right in, sort of the best way to jump right in is to just get started trying to use the course. And then we present at various conferences and stuff. So, you know, we'll be at NCTM
cool.
later this month, AERA this weekend. I should just say, like, in general, our mission is a little more broad than just the curriculum, right? So Financial Lifecycle Education
yes.
Corp works with educators and organizations to equip all students with the mathematical and financial skill and understanding necessary to navigate that financial life cycle and meet state requirements. So the main thrust of our work thus far has been the creation of the FiCycle curriculum, which is a math class roughly at the level of Algebra 2. But we also
yeah.
engage in a lot of research, present in conferences, and interact with
right.
teachers in a lot of other ways at various organizations.
Right, that's great. And you will be, I don't know, NCTM, National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, is that virtual this year?
It is virtual this year, yeah. So it's actually easier than ever to go. You don't have to convince anyone to pay for
right.
your plane ticket.
You're right.
I spent so much of my career as a teacher, flying all over to the different conferences.
Absolutely.
And this year, it's almost, while something is lost going virtual, right, something is also gained, and that is that it's easier than ever to attend these conferences and learn and hear all these amazing voices in education speak.
Yeah, and it's so important. I hope people do. NCTM's a good group, and it's National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, nctm.org. Okay, and you should go over and check that out because math is so obviously important. As I always say, math is logic. It's that simple, and we need to do a good job on that. But you did mention something, and this is what I wanted to get into. I love, again, that word rigor that you use. This program is on the level, if correct me if I'm wrong here, of Algebra 2?
Yeah, so it is a rigorous math course. In fact, I would
I
say
love
that
it.
The way that we are defined as different than other personal finance curriculums. I think this is really one of our defining characteristics, is that it's a full math curriculum at the Algebra 2 level that's integrated with the financial concepts. So it's a theoretically grounded course. It's based on a Nobel Prize-winning economic theory by a guy named Franco Modigliani called the Life Cycle Hypothesis of Saving. And basically, his theory says that in order for individuals to be successful in their financial lives, they need to understand two key principles, which we have unified all of our materials around. The first is that you can transfer consumption across as an individual. So, you know, if I'm a young student, I can borrow from my future self, who's hopefully earning more money in the form of a loan. If I'm working and I'm in sort of the middle of my life and I'm working and my career is going, I can give to my older self who maybe won't be working because he's retired in the form of an investment. So that's the first principle that we need to understand to manage our financial life cycle. The second principle is that whenever we do that, we have to manage some measure. There's an element of uncertainty that comes into play. There's risk that we need to manage. And so you can see how we can sort of hang an Algebra 2 course on these concepts, the transfer of consumption across time, being deeply involved in functions and a lot of the tools of algebra like sequences and series. And then managing uncertainty is where things like risk and probability and statistics come in.
Are you a math teacher, Phil? Were you a math teacher?
Yeah, so for over a decade, I was a math teacher in the Lower East Side of Manhattan in a Title I school. And then
cool.
After over a decade, I got my PhD in mathematics education. I became a visiting professor at Fordham University and a consultant, and that's actually where I met Andy. You know, every math teacher has a specific way they like to answer the question, when am I going to use this in life? And and I think when I met Andy, a lot of the things he was excited about were a lot of the things that I was excited about as a teacher and as an educator. So he was really excited about, you know, relevant real-world problems, student-centered tasks, authentic modeling, collaborative learning, and really the most important thing, and I know that I've heard you talk about it a lot on this podcast, but placing the math into a relevant real-world context so that we meet all the students, right? All the students aren't going to join us if they don't see the relevance of it.
Thank you.
And that's engaging in and of itself.
You're talking to me. Okay, I got nothing out of math. Okay, I sorry, Dr. Dottori. Okay, I got nothing out of math. All right, and because it had no, it made no sense. My mind doesn't work so well with mathematical stuff. I'll be the first one to tell you that. So I needed a different type of education in math. But B, it had no relevance. Okay. And I always say people are not bad at math. They just have to work harder to understand it. Okay, if you don't understand it the first time, it has to be taught the right way. And this is a great way to put it. Okay, and I want you to do something else here. You know, you heard me say at the beginning, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Okay, we're going to archive this podcast over there at a-ed.org. Okay. I know your program, we'll talk about this in greater detail, is pretty deep into New York City schools, okay, which are extremely diverse, all right? You mentioned Title I a few minutes ago as well, okay, for income diversity, all right? And my point is, fit this, and I think this is a key, fit what you guys do at FiCycle into the equity question, which is a big deal in education these days. Dr. Phil. I just realized that, Dr. Phil. Sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Phil. Not that one.
If you call me Dr. Phil, I reserve the right to give you relationship advice. But that's okay.
just what I need.
You know, answering the equity question is hard because I think the equity question is really hard. So the first thing I want to say is I know that nothing I say is enough, right? That's why I struggle to answer the question. How do we do this in education is really hard. It's been the topic of many of the podcasts on this show.
Yep.
I think we do a lot to try to address it, but I want to say right up at front, the thing that we do most is we recognize that no one thing is enough and that it's really a continual process. You know, we have weekly meetings and sort of social justice and the equity issue is on the agenda every week.
Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest things we do is I think that, you know, in many senses, our curriculum matters. It matters because it enhances equitable access for students to key skills for lifelong success, not just in school, in life, right? Math and personal finance are topics that serve as gatekeepers to success in our society. Even if you're successful in other areas, you need to be competent in these areas. And we know that currently that's not really the case. Right? If you look at some of the statistics, and I'm going to sort of quote pre-pandemic stats, the reality is probably worse probably worse today than the statistics I'm going to quote. But we know that fewer than 40% of U.S. high school graduates in 2019 were considered ready for college-level mathematics work as measured by the ACT. Fewer than 40%. We also know when we look at people as adults that fewer than 40% of Americans don't have $400 to cover emergency expenses.
Frightening.
It's frightening. And when you consider the fact that this is a pre-pandemic statistics, many Americans may have faced that situation in this past year. So this is serious. And you know, one of our hopes is that by helping our students and by giving them these important skills, we can help make an impact in their lives, in the lives of their community. And as this work reaches more and more people, I think it can make a generational impact. So I think sort of giving people this knowledge that is really should be taught in compulsory education, it's knowledge you need to be you need to be in our society to be successful in our society. So, you know, that's one thing we do. Another other things we do, obviously, is I've mentioned we try to make the math relevant to students so that they can see themselves in the problems, right? So how do we do that? So we start with real-world stories about people's finances. We create a project-based curriculum where the projects are based on and informed by real stories. We created a protagonist in our curriculum, a high school student, and all of the projects are about characters who are in relation to them so that literally a high school student can hopefully relate to those relationships and those experiences. So by placing the math in a real-world context, trying to make it so that students can see themselves in the scenarios, giving students relevant tasks, we hope that we're reaching more and more students. Now, that's not sufficient. It's a continual process of revision and a continual process of trying to sort of reach as many students as you can, continual process of going over what you've done, interacting with our teachers a lot. So I'm very lucky that one of my favorite parts of my job is I get to observe, work with, and train FiCycle teachers. And so we talk a lot about these issues in our training programs. And I know from talking to our teachers that a lot of teachers see the act of bringing FiCycle into their schools as a kind of act of social justice because they feel like it's important content that their students won't otherwise get. By making it a rigorous math class, I think we're addressing a lot of the issues that we see in a lot of schools across the country where students struggle to meet the math standards set forth by their state. So, you know, we've looked at our curriculum, we study the students in our courses, and we know that by taking FiCycle, students make marked improvement in both the math and the finance. So just sort of some of the things that we're doing. There's more to it than that. You know, I mentioned we engage in research around these topics. We present at conferences, and we're big consumers of this kind of information and research. We're constantly out there in the field trying to meet people doing this work, trying to learn more about these topics. I've learned even from listening to your podcast about the importance of the relevance of the content that we're giving our students. I guess I could talk about this forever, and I don't want to babble. I could babble about
this. No. I'd love you. This is your opportunity to babble, and I want you to do that. Feel free to say whatever you want. You know, I'm going to say something else. I'm going to go back to what we said before. Okay? This is key. We're talking about an Algebra 2-level financial literacy course, if I may. All right, again, FiCycle.org. All right? But that shows, if you're asking me, a lot of respect for the kids that you are teaching. Okay, this is something, Algebra 2 is not that easy, all right? It's rigorous, all right? And to put your, to take the, I'm going to say it this way, to take the chance to put your program into that level, okay, shows a deep respect for the students and the teachers, okay? Yes, they can do this, okay? It's not something to be taken lightly. All right, your life's finances are not something to be taken lightly. So we're going to put it in some place where you're smart enough and good enough to understand it, and we know you are. And I just got to say that that's incredibly important that you do that. That's a key thing. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's important. Yeah, I think you know that's also one of our guiding principles. You kind of like hit the nail on the head there, right? So One of the things that's different about us than other curriculums is that we're a math class. Obviously, that's one of the more defining factors when you look at other personal finance curriculums.
Yes.
But another thing that we do that I think is somewhat unique is that we are not prescriptive. Right? Anyone who's worked with kids knows how much they love being told what to do. They don't. And so rather than telling students what to do, what we try to do is we try to give them the skills, the math that they need to make informed decisions on their own. Right? So it's not lost on students. You get a bunch of seniors, typical personal finance education, you bring them together and you wag your finger at them and you say, make sure you don't spend more money than you're making. Right? And then what's the first financial decision they have to make in their lifetime?
Could you tell that to my wife, please? Don't spend more money than you make. Thank you very much. Okay. Now go ahead.
Okay. So we tell kids that. But then the first decision we ask them to make on their own is to literally do that, right? They go to college, and almost most adults are probably signaling to them, it's a good idea to take out a loan at this point to pay for college. Well, that doesn't square with the prescriptive rule you just gave me of spend less than I'm making. I'm spending $100,000. I'm making nothing, and I'm going to spend a couple hundred thousand dollars on school, right? So instead, what we do is we try to give students the tools, in this case, the math, to analyze the situation and make the decision on their own. I also want to point out it does require a lot, I think. I really love the way you phrase it, of respecting the students.
Yeah.
We try really hard to respect the students. And as a teacher, that was like one of my central tenets, right? Was that like, I'm here trying to help you learn. You're here trying to learn. If anything gets in the way of that, one of us has forgotten why we're here. And there's this mutual respect that I always had with my students. I like the way you say that. I think that a lot of people forget, though, that Algebra 2 is actually a really natural fit in some ways, because many people maybe don't know this, but many of the tools of algebra were developed in order to meet the needs of finance and business. And as a result, many of the concepts and essential understandings from mathematics and finance are mutually reinforcing since they're related. Oftentimes, the essential understandings are the same. Like, just to give a little example, right? If you want to look at the concepts that underlie exponential growth, right, is an essential understanding. Students need to understand exponential growth. Well, the same essential understandings are required to understand exponential growth are required to understand the power of investing over the long term, right? Those are the same concepts, right? And so by trying to divorce them and turn them into a list of rules we have to memorize, we're making the same sort of mistakes we make in the math classroom when we teach math as a disconnected list of facts you have to memorize. We can respect our students' knowledge. We respect what they bring to the table. And that's one of the reasons that PhiCycle is a student-centered, project-based, standards-aligned curriculum. Right? We respect what our students bring to the table. They're not coming to us as blank slates. They come to us with a wealth of knowledge.
Yep.
And our job is to sort of access that knowledge, not tell them to put it away. You know, this is a slight aside, but one of my favorite Peanuts comics, and I might be getting it wrong, so if someone's a huge Peanuts fan, you can correct me, but the gist of it is Lucy's wondering, she just has a thought bubble, and she's like, if you're ever reading about someone who's buying 43 watermelons, you know you're in math class. Because that's like an unrealistic example, right, of something someone would do.
Right.
And as a math teacher, I always try to give extreme examples to sort of make points. And in our curriculum, we try to respect students by always giving them realistic examples that will mimic the kinds of situations they're actually going to be placed in life.
I got to tell you, one about the college loan is excellent. That also describes, okay, the national debt. Okay, you can borrow money if it's going to pay off tenfold, let's say, at the end. Borrowing when you don't have it works well if it's going to be used and make you more money at the end of the line. That is why people borrow for college. Okay, and that's an excellent example of what you're saying. That's relevant. I got to tell you, that's very relevant.
Yeah, it's relevant, okay? Right? And not only do we describe this in the abstract with our students, but one of our projects involves, at the end of learning this mathematics, involves going ahead and doing the math, right? They go and they do the research. Some of our teachers have told us this is the kind of thing our college guidance counselors want our students doing. They log on to the state website. We give them some numbers to put in, in order to be very sensitive to the different backgrounds of our students, come from all over the country, from all different backgrounds. Our teachers love sharing about their lives. We caution our teachers from prompting the students to share their lives. So we give them you know, numbers to go and plug in and try to make sense of a character's situation that they can hopefully relate to in their projects. And, you know, they go ahead and figure out what am I going to get in financial aid? Am I going to work or not? How much money will I have for food? These sort of basic things, and then figure out, all right, so what's your plan for paying it back? They go ahead and they open up Microsoft Excel or Google Sheets. They create a spreadsheet so that they can calculate their future and see what's going to happen in an informed way. They're not taking shots in the dark, right? The goal is that our students have this knowledge. And right, and it's not like this is knowledge we're not already supposed to be giving them, Larry. These are the standards for mathematics. This is Common Core State standards that we're supposed to be teaching. We've just organized them so that instead of one problem being about fishing and another problem being about Acme anvils, the context stays with you, and you actually end up learning something about the context, personal finance.
It makes perfect sense, and I have to ask this, you know, just go over again. You have to do this for me, okay, because you're the math whiz and I'm not. Explain again, okay, this, just so for a layman like myself, how Algebra 2, which I don't really remember what Algebra 2 was, okay, I was a social studies teacher, and no social studies teacher remembers what Algebra 2 was. Okay, that's the law. It's like a science fiction thing. It's erased from your brain. All right, talk to me about how Algebra 2, okay, eternal sunshine, eternal pleasures of the sun, eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. Okay, talk to me about Algebra 2 and, again, how it relates to how you put those two things together. Help me. Help everybody.
Yeah, so,
except the math teachers who already understand.
How do we put those things together? So, right, we put
Algebra 2. Put Algebra 2 in context for me.
So let me first stop and say Algebra 2 is the study of a couple of things. If you look at the Common Core State Standards, you know, they list out what you should learn in 7th grade specifically, what you should learn in 8th grade specifically. Then you get to 9th grade, and instead of telling you what each grade should be, they say, okay, well, over the next 4 years, you should learn these things. And there's a bunch of different standards. One of them is modeling. One of them is functions, right? There's different categories. So the standards related to algebra are, and the things that we typically cover in an Algebra 2 course, are a lot of the content that we need to understand and tackle a lot of the questions we have in finance. So, you know, I mentioned a little bit about how basic understanding of an exponential function can help us understand the importance of investing over the long term. Now, without getting more into it, I can run an experiment. Did you ever watch, trying to make it as down-earth as possible, did you ever watch The Price is Right?
Sure.
Did you ever watch The Price is Right?
Sure.
Okay, there's something called the Plinko game on The Price is Right, which is there's a series of pegs, and you drop a little disc down and bounces off of each peg. It has a 50-50 chance of going left or right, and then it falls into a series of pegs, and it falls into some things on the bottom. If someone's listening and they want to get a better picture of what I'm talking about, you can Google Plinko, or what that really is it's something called a Galton board. So in our curriculum, we use experimentation with a Galton board to try to simulate investing in the stock market. Now, I don't have the time, or better said, I don't think we have the capacity in this form, in this medium, to explain to all the listeners exactly how this happens. We can use this mathematics to model the stock market, to draw some conclusions, to make some conjectures, and out of it falls a lot of the mathematics students have to learn in Algebra 2. So out of that simple experiment, right, out of something that looks like a game you may have watched on The Price is Right, we can think about the binomial theorem. We can teach students all about the binomial theorem, and we can teach students about risk, and we use that very activity that I'm describing. I think it appears in unit 4 or 5. We use that very idea to explain why people my age have a 401k, and how I put my money into my 401k, and I'm not really entirely afraid that it's going to go away tomorrow. And why it might be a better idea to have my money in a bunch of different stocks than just one stock. So there's a lot of math there that we can unpack, right? So binomial theorem is a big thing.
You're doing a good job.
We have to understand basic probability and statistics. There's some combinatorics. We have to understand functions, right? I mentioned exponential functions. We have to understand some of the mathematics of algebraic manipulation. And that's just one little example, right? We can find examples of inroads at many different places. And, you know, I think one of the things that's really cool about this is that we created a workbook that's the main instructional tool for our curriculum. So if anyone listening is curious, this is not just for high school kids. Like, anyone can go onto our website and buy the workbook, and you can work through the workbook and see these connections. In fact, I've had a number of adults and teachers tell me in the training how much they enjoyed working through the workbook and how much they felt they themselves learned. One of the reasons we married this content to mathematics is because I cannot teach you all the math in a professional development. But if you already know all the math,
Well,
let's assume, right, the math teachers already know all the math. And in my experience, I am floored by how amazing all of our teachers are and all the knowledge they have. But if you already know all the math, I can teach you the finance in a relatively short period of time. So our PD sort of brings math teachers in, assumes they know the math. We teach them the finance and sort of prepare them to work with their students. And what we get from them is like, wow, this training is really helpful, but also when they go back, that they themselves, looking through the workbook, feel like they learn the finance and learn these concepts. And that's really it's inspirational for us, right? Because our goal is to create a tool that students can work on. So it's very student-centered and student-driven. Our main instructional tool, the workbook, is someone that if anyone listening is curious, they can just go and check out and learn and see how this works. And if you're someone who's like, well, that's all fine and dandy, Phil, but I don't want to go buy a book, well, you can go to our webpage and download. We have tons of free lessons available on our webpage. And when you go to the webpage, there's a resources lessons tab. You can click on the lessons and you can download some lessons, and you get a sense of how this looks, you know, before our conversation is over today.
That is great. Again, phicycle.org. Thank you. That was a good explanation. I really do appreciate that, Dr. Phil. I really do. No mental advice needed. No well-being advice needed, Dr. Phil. Okay. I'm curious. And you mentioned something. I just want to go over this as we wind down here. You're obviously working with schools. You mentioned professional development, PD. How do you do that with schools who are working with you? What do you do?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I run all of our PD as the director of education. And as I mentioned, it's probably my favorite part of the job, or one of them. I love working with teachers and kids. So what do we do? So we bring the teachers in for 2 days over the first summer before they teach the course. And since the pandemic, this has been a remote experience. But before the pandemic, we invite them into our office. And what we do is I take them through roughly in 2 days over 6 hours each day. We have a lot of fun. Teachers always report that it's fun. I realize I just made it sound grueling. It's fun. And we teach them everything they need to know about the first half of the curriculum. So, you know, we bring them in over 2 days. I talk a little bit about the pedagogy. I talk a little bit about best practices that might be tangential to the study of math but might be more important here, or maybe that they just never experienced. We make sure that they feel comfortable with spreadsheets, a big component of the curriculum is spreadsheets, because that's how most people in the real world do math. We walk them through the first three units in the first half of the curriculum, make sure they feel really comfortable with the personal finance. We help them create some critical friends in other PhiCycle teachers, because as you can imagine, if you're teaching PhiCycle at your school, right, it's not like there's a PhiCycle department. So we try to create some networks for them. After that experience, they go out, they teach the curriculum, and then we invite them back for a second training in the middle of the year to think about the second half of the curriculum. But usually what happens is I interact with the teachers a fair amount in between those two experiences. As I mentioned, we're a small not-for-profit, and one of the pieces of feedback I get from our teachers all the time is that we're always there. If you have a question, you can ask us. One of our teachers actually loves to tell his class that this isn't like your other textbook. I might not know every answer, but if I don't know the answer, I can call the people who wrote it and get it for you.
That's fun, yeah.
And I think that's kind of cute. And he said that the kids actually get a kick out of thinking of us as real people. I don't know why they don't think of the authors of their other books as real people, but they get a kick out of that.
It's important for everybody to say, I don't know the answers. There's a place I can go to get the answers, just like the kids need to do. Okay?
Exactly,
just
right? Like, they're modeling They're modeling what we want our students to be doing. And so that's really important.
It's really something, Phil. Yeah. It's a good program. I got to tell you. It's been around, what, 3 years now? Am I right? Or longer?
Almost. We've been around longer. We've been active for about 4 or 5 years now. And
4 or 5, okay.
We've had really great experiences with our schools. We've been in about 40-plus schools with over 5,000 students. But that's not counting, you know, the hundreds of teachers and the thousands of students that we've interacted with at workshops at Math for America and the Museum of Mathematics and various venues where we interact with teachers in other ways.
That's cool. It's cool. Everybody, check it out. It's at FiCycle, just like it sounds, FiCycle.org. This is great. It's good to know you, Phil. It's a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, Larry, it's a real pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the cast. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all the work you do, voicing all the importance about equity on this cast. So thank you so much.
We try, and what you guys are doing has a lot to do with that. Okay, it fits beautifully because we got to equip kids with these life skills, and that's what this is all about. You're really, like I said, you're doing it with a good deal of respect and rigor for them. So congratulations to you and the gang at FiCycle. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Larry. You have a great day.
You too. Stay safe. Bye-bye. Phil Dottori, everybody, Dr. Phil, okay, who's the education director for the financial life cycle education, okay, but it's FiCycle.org. You can go over there, check it out. It's very interesting stuff, I got to tell you. I'm impressed. All right, we're going to archive the show over at ACE-ED.org. Go over there, enjoy our magazine, see all the great stuff that we do over there for equity. You're invited. Everything is free over there. Thanks so much for joining with us today. Take care.